The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome in to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. No, I'm not Zach Zabin. It's Chris Bowden filling in for Zach, who's doing a little bit of traveling ahead of college basketball duties tomorrow night. I am joined in studio here at 670 The Score by our 85 Bear, Tom Thayer. Tom, good evening. How you doing?
Chris, doing well.
We have no Jim Miller with us. He is probably taking a circuitous route back from Houston. I think he has maybe a layover in Anchorage or something on his way back to Michigan. But he was in Houston all week, so it's just you and me, kid. And we have no Zach, we have no Miller, but we will have Zach Miller a little bit
That's
later
very
on.
Catchy. Very
he'll be,
catchy.
He'll be joining us in a few minutes here. And again, we invite your participation, be it Bears questions or comments on the Super Bowl, 312-644-6767. And Tom, after a game like that, I've been dying to talk to you about a lot of things. After New England wins for the fifth time in 16 years, first and foremost, your thoughts on Lady Gaga's halftime performance?
Oh, I thought it was great. I'm not a big Lady Gaga fan, but I did enjoy it. I thought when they kind of explain a little bit more in details about how she did enter the stadium, and you thought, wow, she jumped off the roof into the crowd, and I always think of how these people do it when they're being suspended by two cables like that. How do they have the control and the ability to still sing? I don't know if it was being lip sync or whatever you'd say, but I enjoyed it. I thought she did a nice job. A lot of pressure in that. 18 minutes maybe she has to perform.
Yeah, they condense it a lot, and we heard a couple of hours ago, or maybe even sooner than that, here on The Score. Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff were given some of the details. They were pre-recorded. You know, the open shot on the roof was something that was on tape, which is something we're not quite privy to until that was finally revealed. But let's talk about the game and the Bears here over the course of the next hour here on Bears All Access. First of all, starting with your overall thoughts on what you saw yesterday, and was this more a tremendous comeback or an epic collapse?
Well, with no disrespect to the New England Patriots, I was watching it as a fan of the Atlanta Falcons. That was the team that I wanted to win, just as a fan of the game of football. So when I saw them come out of the blocks, they were putting pressure on Brady. They were making him struggle. They were having him move his feet behind the line of scrimmage, and it did, kind of affect his accuracy and his decision-making process a little bit. The ability for Atlanta to run the ball, they had some big, first down runs, some big runs that really made, put the New England Patriots on their heels in terms of trying to stop the running game, knowing the whole time you have the season MVP at the quarterback, so when is he going to throw the ball? But boy, they're running the ball well, so now it's kind of a double threat there with Atlanta's offense. And then I was amazed throughout the whole process. I never saw panic in the facial expressions of Tom Brady. And that's one of, I think, the controlling factors in why he means so much into the huddle, because when you get down by the amount of points you were to the Atlanta Falcons, there was never a sense of urgency. There was never panic in Tom Brady. He just had one play lead to the next, and successfully enough, they were able to take the game over, start controlling the tempo of the game, and then I was disappointed in Kyle Shanahan because I thought he made some decisions for the Atlanta Falcons that that gave New England the opportunity to ultimately succeed and win the game. So it was like a slinky because I was pulling for Atlanta, but again, no disrespect to New England and New England's greatness, they won the game ultimately.
Yeah, and again, among the topics we'd like you guys to weigh in out there at 312-644-6767, if you have an argument that there is a greater quarterback in history other than Tom Brady, or I don't know if Bill Belichick, obviously in the Super Bowl era, but he's put himself in the Halas, Lombardi, pre-Super Bowl, Lombardi carrying over into the Super Bowl era, and Belichick as the top three of all time. But if any of you out there have an argument against Brady and Belichick having that status, and also what you may have learned from these two teams that could be of use to the Bears. Obviously, the big question mark hanging over this team, they have their quarterbacks, the Patriots and the Falcons do. But what you saw in that game yesterday that the Bears can take from and hopefully build
on. Let me throw a question to you and for the callers. If you could have one of the two, Belichick or Brady, who do you want and who do you think means more to the prolonged success that these guys have had? Because when you look at it, you have the example of Belichick being an unsuccessful coach and getting fired in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And you have Tom Brady was drafted where he was drafted and was the fifth round or
sixth round out of Michigan. I still keep seeing that combine picture, the shirtless combine picture in Drayton by
that in his 40. You know, when you look at him run the 40, and I think it was over five flat.
I think it was at 10-6.
There was offensive
like
linemen at 300 pounds that were running it faster than Brady. But when you look at what both of these guys have been able to overcome.
And they've done it together each time.
Yes, but if you could only have one of the two, which one would it be?
I think I'd take Brady.
Really?
I think I'd take Brady.
See, I think Belichick is the reason for success because his footprint is on every guy on that football team, every position, every game plan. You never have the luxury of coming into a room without the complete seriousness of what you're there for. Are you in a special teams meeting, a defensive meeting, an offense meeting? When the Bears went there at the beginning of this season to practice against New England Patriots.
Were you there?
Yes,
okay.
I was there. Yeah. And I sat in every one of Belichick's press conferences because I wanted to see what he was all about. I've never seen a more intimidated group of men. And that's the writers, that's the media people that were there in my life. They were nervous that if they asked a question that didn't qualify as a quality question, that he would give you some expression or some answer that telling you, look, that doesn't qualify.
Were these the Chicago reporters? Or these
that was all of Boston. Chicago and the whole Boston media. But I was so amazed at how much he intimidated the media waiting there. And I could see guys with their recorders kind of nervously shaking, trying to think of a question that was really going to qualify Belichick to take the time to answer it.
Yeah, and the argument definitely in favor of Belichick is you look at the turnover on these teams that have still won Super Bowls. The constants have been Brady and Belichick, to maybe a lesser extent Gronk, who they were without with. They were without this year, but we were just talking before coming in. You're thinking running back Kevin Falk, Shane Vereen, LeGarrette Blount, who hit the doghouse early yesterday, and then a guy named James White comes in and has 14 catches for 110 receiving yards and scores the winning touchdown.
But you know, and then go ahead.
No, and that's the amazing. There were only 23 guys on this team that won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Right. And then you look at a guy like the son of Howie Long, the brother of Kyle Long, yeah. Chris Long. He says a statement, the reason I went to New England is to win a Super Bowl. So that's the type of veteran influence you have in this football team. You have, you know, every guy in the NFL that works hard to become an NFL football player, dedicates himself to the offseason, they have a strong desire in their life to be successful. And when Chris Long had some of the trials and, you know, and even some of the failures that you have in his NFL career, then he picks out an organization to go to, even though it's probably less money, just for the opportunity to win. And I think that's a strong influence in that locker room as well.
It's almost like what we see with the Blackhawks here. You know, sometimes you'll get a veteran guy who's never won a ring and has a certain amount of value, and he ends up taking less money in order to come here and have an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. I imagine it's the same way with the Lombardi Trophy with Belichick and Brady in New England.
I agree. And then a couple minutes ago, you said, what do the Bears fans learn from this game?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the desires that you want out of the guys that come to play for the Bears, either draft choices or free agents. You want them to have such a strong desire to be leaders in the locker room that leadership leads to success.
Brady or Belichick, who's more important? 312-644-6767. What did you guys learn outside of both teams having real good quarterbacks that the Bears might be able to put to use between the Falcons and the Patriots? We'll also hear from Bears tight end Zach Miller and have a little bit more conversation Bears specific as we roll on. You're listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on 670 The Score. Get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. Welcome back inside Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Chris Bowden pinch hitting for Zach Zaidman tonight. I'm joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Jim Miller also without us, so again, no Zach, no Miller, but we do have Zach Miller joining us here on the phone line. The Bears tight end who had set career highs this past season, 47 catches, 486 yards, also added 4 touchdowns. Zach, thanks for jumping on with us. How you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling great, man. Thank you guys for having me on.
Where were you watching the game? I saw some of your tweets as well during the course of the game. You had a little liquid refreshment standing by, right?
We did, yep. We were fully stocked.
Very good. But you were responsible. So,
absolutely. I was at home. It was my daughter's birthday, so she's a Super Bowl baby, so we sat at home and had some family and friends over and watched a game at the house.
That's great. So what did you think of the game, and was there any point, and I wanted to ask Tom this too, was there any point that you thought, all right, the Patriots are done, Atlanta's got this thing?
Briefly at halftime, we were all kind of talking about just how crazy of a first half that was, and I thought if Atlanta didn't score coming out on that first possession, that there'd be an opportunity for New England to get back in it, but the chances were very slim. So I thought if they didn't score, Tom Brady's the guy who's able to do it, but that was a heck of a finish, a heck of a failure, and a heck of a comeback all at the same time.
Yeah, as much as I was pulling for Atlanta, I never felt comfortable that, Atlanta's in control of this football game, because we've seen the greatness of Tom Brady throughout his entire career. Oh. Zach, one thing about you, you've come to the Chicago Bears in the last couple of years, and you really provided a spark as a playmaker at the tight end position. But, it seems to me that you've gained a leadership role on this football team that it's probably needed now more than ever. So throughout your time as a professional athlete, when you're always trying to earn your keep, now you've earned your keep, you've earned a contract, but there's also bigger expectations that falls on your shoulders. Do you feel that, or is it something that you've just accepted in your time as a player with veteran status in the NFL?
A little bit of both. I mean, I feel it now just because, I'm at the point in my career where I'm comfortable with that. I've grown into this position. Early on, in my career, I was trying to learn the position. Now I'm at a point where I feel I've grown into the position and been able to get to this point where I can now be a leader on and off the field, in the locker room. And I'm comfortable doing it. I need to do more of it now. And that's actually something that I spoke to some of the staff about in our exit meetings, and just a different role that some of the older guys need to take. And I feel it'll help us as a football team as a whole.
Is it hard to extend yourself outside of your position room? Because you do have some young tight ends on there that you need to show them some guidance. But there's also some young football players on this football team that they need to have the confidence in the look in your face is when you give them or send them or give them a message that they need to hear. Is that hard for you, or is it just something, a role that you've taken upon that you've earned so far?
Yeah, no, it's not hard. And it's probably some of my previous background as far as leadership and things like that. I'm comfortable in that role. And we have a number of guys, across the team that are really good leaders. But we just need to take the next step and for whatever reason just solidify our group. Coach Fox does a great job of, his leadership group and a couple of guys that kind of head this thing up and where we need to move direction-wise as a team amongst the players. So we got a good foundation of what we're doing. We just need to be better at it next year.
John Ron, our callers who've called in to weigh in on Belichick versus Brady, hang tight. We're going to get to you, as well as all of our other callers as well, at 644-6767. We're here with Zach Miller. Zach, I mentioned the stats that you put up, career highs in receptions and yardage, but it happened in just 10 games because of the foot injury. Where are you, quote-unquote, at right now with that foot injury, and how is the process coming along? Would you expect that once you guys are eligible to get back on the field and working out, will you be ready for that?
Yeah. Everything's going great. I'll be ready, when we get back in April. Everything's going according to plan, ahead of schedule. I've been through this exact rehab schedule before, so I know what it entails, and I've been able to bounce back and play at a high level, so I'm comfortable with that. We just got to put in the time, put in the work, and when it's time to get back in April and as we move through the OTAs, I'll just build on that and work towards getting ready for training camp.
Zach, when you injured your foot, did you know it immediately? Because after I remember doing the game and you kind of hopped to the sideline at a pretty quick pace, so it was kind of hard telling if you knew what was going on, or did you have to go inside and get confirmation from the doctors?
No, I knew instantly. It was
the helmet slam on the sidelines kind of gave it away.
Yeah, it was. Well, that was just everything coming out of me, the frustration. I knew as soon as my foot planted, and JPP and I kind of got tangled up in the way we fell, as soon as it happened, I told Jay as I was walking out, I said, I blew my other Liz Frank. He said, what? And I repeated it, and was just as I was hobbling to the sideline. And I didn't, Nate Bresky, our head trainer, was like, you want me to get the cart? I didn't want to be carted off, so I walked. I had all the pressure on the back of my heel, though, because every time you step, your foot basically slides in half. But it was something that I knew instantly, and obviously frustrated, but I've been through it before, so we'll get back to it.
You know, I fast forward from that moment to the conclusion of the game last night. Are you a player? See, I don't like watching the after-game celebrations because I'm kind of still so envious of what they've been able to achieve. Do you watch the post-game celebrations, or are you kind of in your mind on to next season?
I didn't watch any of it. it's one of those things where I don't want to say jealous, because that's not the term. That's not the feeling towards it, but the want of that, not wanting to take it away from anybody who's earned it and worked for it, but it's something that I want to work for and earn in my own right. So it's something that I don't really delve into and watch very much. But and we had the birthday party going on, so I had other things that could distract me from it. But that's something that we want to get done, and what a feeling that would be to bring that trophy back to Chicago.
Bears tight end Zach Miller joining us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Chris Bowden and Tom Thayer joining you here on 670 The Score. But I imagine as you were watching the Super Bowl, you were keeping your eye a lot on Marty. How did you think he did? How much were you rooting for him? And have you maintained any contact with him since he's moved along?
Yeah, we've talked a couple times. Throughout the season, if he had good games or I had good games, we'd text and tell each other, good job, whatever. He hit me up after the injury. I spoke to him a couple times during the playoffs just to wish him well, and spoke to him today to congratulate him. But I watched him. He had his opportunity, he did his thing. So he played well. I was happy for him and his family to be able to enjoy that moment. Him and Jet and Siggy, so it was good for them. And him and Jet had a moment post-game that I've seen blasted all over social media. So that's something that's cool that they can hold on to for the rest of their life.
You know, Zach, there's been a lot of quarterback controversy surrounding the Chicago Bears, but is it more important for you to have consistency in the system to be able to develop what your asset is to this offense? I know that there needs to be a decision made at the quarterback position, but as long as the offense stays the same, your contributions are still going to be what they have been the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think consistency within that system, exactly how you said it, is key. It's vital to us as a whole on offense. Obviously, everybody knows there's some type of decision that has to be made, whether we move on, whether we move forward. I hope it's the latter, and we stay stay together as our group, but I don't make those decisions. So it's something that comes with our territory, comes with the game of professional football and really sports as a whole. So when that decision's made, whether wherever we go with it, consistency in our system and our offense as a whole will be something that we can lean on and really hold on to.
You and Logan Paulson had a couple of real youngins, green guys, in Ben Broniker in that tight end room. And then when you were injured, I know they elevated Daniel Brown. What are some of your thoughts on some of the strengths and what those guys have to build upon after getting a year under their belts here?
Yeah, both of those guys, played well, stepped up, into a heavier role when I went down. And had an opportunity to showcase their skill set. Those guys work hard. They're willing to do anything and everything that you ask of them. They're always staying after practice with Frank and doing extra things to really work on their game. So they're just going to keep on working, continue. They're hungry. So hopefully as a group we continue to grow. And as they get more opportunity and more experience, they turn into pretty great players.
It's funny, in Dan Brown, I see a young Zach Miller, because you see a guy that has got playmaking, pass-catching ability that is above tight end standard, and he's a type of guy that the more reps he gets, maybe he can get a little thicker in the weight room, that he reminds me a lot of you, and I think that's interesting to watch, because if they had Zach Miller and Dan Brown on the field at the same time, two receivers that catch, two tight ends that catch the ball like receivers, it could be challenging for any team to come out here and try to cover the two of you guys.
Yeah, certainly could. He's athletic, and he like you said, he reminds me a lot of myself as well. Position change, he was a college wide receiver, so very, very good at the playmaking ability, can make the catch, run after the catch, does a lot, runs good routes. Dan does a lot of good things, so it's one of those. He's going to have the similar, challenge that I had. That curve of when you're in the trenches, you got to, and the only way you can do that is to feel it. You have to experience it. You got to understand how we win as being more undersized tight ends in a new NFL. So he's only going to get better with more experiences as he goes. So I'm excited about his future and what it holds for us.
Hey Zach, are you a lot stronger, weight room strong now than when you came out of college, and has that progressed throughout your career?
You know what, my weight room strength hasn't really increased. I've always been, I love the weight room. I'm in it as much as I can. And I was a strong quarterback when I was playing, so it changed a little bit, but strength wise, I've probably got a little bit stronger, but the thing is being able to carry it over to that game and really learn the positioning, how you can learn win with leverage and things like that that I never had experience. So when you get a transition that weight room strength into the game in that position, was kind of how I turned the curve and picked up more being able to not be a liability when I was on the football field. And actually turn that into, I don't want to say strength, but improve that part of my game so I was comfortable being on the field every play.
Zach, thanks a bunch for jumping on with us. We really appreciate it. Continued good health in your recovery from the foot injury. We'll let you finish up cleaning up from that birthday party yesterday.
Yeah, happy birthday to your daughter.
Look forward to seeing you up at Hallis Hall when we're allowed to see you come April, all right?
You got it, man. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Zach.
Bears tight end Zach Miller joining us here on Bears All Access. We have to take a break. When we do come back, we'll get to our phone calls, 312-644-6767. Belichick or Brady? More important to the Patriots' success, their 5 Lombardis in 16 years. We'll be back after this at 670, The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. And let me look this up. This week on Inside the Bears, go back to school with running back Jordan Howard and his high school coach Spice Adams, crashes a Bears fan cave, plus the art of special teams explained by the Bears' best, Sherrick McManus and Josh Bellamy, Again, Inside the Bears, Saturday at 6 on CW50 and Sunday at 10:35 on Fox. Back on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, Tom Thayer, Chris Bowden filling in tonight for Zach Zaidman. We've been talking Bears. Just want to thank Zach Miller for joining us. And also, of course, yesterday's New England victory over Atlanta in Super Bowl 51. We threw the question out there, who's more important to this Patriots' success of 5 in 16 years? Is it Brady or Belichick? I took Brady. Tom took Belichick. Let's hit the phone lines again, 644-6767, and go to Ron in Willow Springs. Ron, who are you going to take, the quarterback or the head coach? Thanks for calling in.
I take the head coach. Here's why I figure it. Look at the teams that have been great, extended success. You're looking at the Steelers, you're looking at the Cowboys, you're looking at the Packers. Each one of those teams, the Super Bowl teams, the ones who made the runs, they've had fistfuls of Hall of Famers come off of their rosters. Now look at the Patriots. Past Brady, who's your Hall of Famer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even through any of – I mean, there are probably guys who have been on each of these five teams at various points who probably were, if they are Hall of Famers, probably made their hay with other teams before coming over to the Patriots like we were talking about.
Right. Well, I think that was one of the unique qualities.
Gronkowski, I'm sure, will be.
Right, right. But I think one of the unique qualities of Mike Ditka for the 85 team and the success that he had with the 85 team, because he could always keep his foot on the gas, and he never let you relax. He never let you come to work thinking that, man, I've made it. I'm in. You know, it's about working every single day. And I think that's one of the similar traits that Bill Belichick has. Again, you can't walk into that room thinking, man, I made it. I'm all good with Bill Belichick. You think about, you know, you talk about, I asked you before the show about LeGarrette Blount. He said, well, he fumbled in the game, and then the next thing you know, there's another running back in there producing. You don't get the chances to fail a bunch, and you didn't get that chance with Ditka. My first game I started for Mike Ditka, we're winning by 40 points. I got a holding call in the fourth quarter, and he pulled me. And he came and gave me some advice on the sideline, and then I went back in the game. But he just let you know that you don't relax for a play. Don't take a day off. Don't not show up. Mm-hmm. And those are, I think, the messages that Belichick leaves each day.
Let's head back to the phone lines. John from Orland Park. Again, the question, Belichick or Brady, more important to this Patriots' success? John, who you got?
Yeah, I'm not that sure that Brady's the greatest. I think I definitely got to go with Belichick. I think you got to look at the record. For both the guys, I don't know if you guys can do the statistics, but how many games has Belichick won without Brady? I know he's won even playoff games with Bledsoe when Brady was hurt, and plenty of games when Brady was hurt. And Brady wouldn't even be who he is without Belichick. My argument, he was nothing in college.
Well, I know Brady hasn't won any games without Belichick.
Right. Well, you know what would have helped the argument there by John was if Garoppolo could have stayed healthy in his four games to play at the start of the season because he injured his shoulder in the second game. But if he would have went out there and had a stretch of four games of incredible stats and just another quarterback that they were able to plug in, and this team ran as efficiently as it does with Brady that it did with Garoppolo, then you probably would have had a better answer to the question because, you know, with the luxury of having Brady there for, 17 years, game in and game out, you know, it's hard to answer that question, but there was a snippet of it when Garoppolo came out, played well until he got injured.
Hey, they won in dominant fashion with Jacoby Brissett.
Right. Well,
quarterback.
Right.
We'll figure that.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, it'd be interesting. They talk about all this.
All right. Maybe I'm changing my mind here too. I mean, you're twisting my arm the other way.
No, I mean, you're right though. I think, you know, it's a great argument because I think each of these guys have evidence on behalf of each other.
312-644-6767. Let's go to Michigan City, see how Dan feels about the Brady-Belichick debate. Good evening, Dan. How you doing? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing good. How are you guys feeling?
Good,
doing
Dan.
All right.
Oh, man, you know what? And then the conversation you're having here, and, you know, and the combination, the Belichick, Tom Brady, is an amazing combination to begin with. But I got to say, Tom Brady, I mean, he is getting older, you know, and he's very experienced, and he seems like just a smart, smart quarterback. But, I mean, he gets out there, and I feel like when he's on the field, he is in control. He is running that offense like he owns it, you know. And nobody, I've never seen anybody run out of the shotgun position like he does in just the comfort, and he just gets out there. And you look at him, and he's poised, and he doesn't show weakness in any way, shape, or form. He just goes out there and he does his job, what he gets paid for.
Dan, you know, thanks for the call.
You know, Chris, our Hall of Fame offensive line coach, Dick Stanfield, he always used to tell you, don't come back to the sidelines and say, I thought, because if you think, you're beat. And that is a yeah, true statement. Yeah. You have to know. And that's the thing about Tom Brady is when you get a quarterback that knows, he knows it at the line of scrimmage. He's not thinking about it. He's not breaking the huddle, doing evaluation, and then trying to go through the thinking process as the ball is being snapped. He goes to the line of scrimmage, and he knows what he has to do, why the play is going to succeed, and how it's going to be successful according to the matchup you're giving you. And that is something that Dick Stanfield taught every one of us offensive linemen, and we didn't have mental errors, and we didn't go on the field and make mistakes because of that, just that simple saying is, don't come back and say, I thought, because I always tell Jeff this, if you think, you're beat. And that is the key.
And you guys had amazing continuity, at least the first 5 years or so that you were there,
yeah,
too, on that offensive
right
line. Thanks for all your calls. Again, we welcome more of them. 312-644-6767. We're going to take another time out, talk a little bit more Bears and Super Bowl 51. You're listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, as Tom does for all the latest content all year long. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Tom Thayer and Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zaidman. Jim Miller on his way back from Houston, so it's just the two of us. We want to talk a little bit more Super Bowl 51, but this is Bears All Access, so let's talk a few things about the Bears. Frank and Addison has called us up, 644-6767. Saturday was the 10-year anniversary of Super Bowl 41, the loss to the Indianapolis Colts. 31 years now since Tommy played, and I know, Frank, you're probably getting a little antsy about when the Bears are going to be in that game again, right?
Yes, I am. After watching those two teams, I'm just wondering what your observations are about how many years before the Bears will be at that type of level. And by the way, Tom, go Irish.
Yeah, there you go, Frank. Thank you. You know what? It's interesting because I was thinking about this myself, and I'm glad Frank called and brought it up because, you know, you have to think, what do the Bears have in place? So they got a solid running game. They have wide receivers, you know, you need Kevin. All right, okay, you have a solid running game. You got your linebackers, Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman in place on the inside. Pernell McPhee had a good year. You got the development. Young and
Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm. But where do you need help the most? And to me, you know, you got to answer the quarterback questions. You need help at safety, and you need the receiver position to continue to develop, but you need to stay healthy. You need to have all these pieces that are in place. Your Kyle Long and Kevin White, and you know what's going to happen with Kyle Fuller. Is Josh Sitton? He's got to stay healthy for the entirety of the season. We need a playmaker like Zach Miller to be healthy throughout the season, and that's the key here. Is you do have some pieces in place, but you need to have a team that stays healthy for the entirety of the season. And I know it's hard in today's NFL, but when you look at these other teams that have had success and like Atlanta and stuff, even though they lost the Super Bowl, they've had a roster that they've been able to go out there with week in and week out and have the same group of guys going out there in playing. And that's, I think, one of the key ingredients that, you know, for the Bears, it's about, keeping their assets going, start developing some guys at the positions of safety and quarterback, and then have the roster have the ability to stay healthy.
Because you look at these two teams that played yesterday, and Atlanta I think 8 of their regulars on defense were drafted within the last 3 years.
Right.
The light seemed to go on for them defensively as the season went on, even though they were out there for 93 offensive snaps for New England yesterday. So you see what they're capable of doing there with young talent that they had to rely on, and the light seeming to go on for them as the season went on. On the other side of things, we were talking before the show, when you look at what New England's done in the draft, say the first 3 rounds over the last 4 or 5 years, they haven't necessarily hit home runs there. There's a lot of guys who aren't even with them anymore.
Right.
But it's you know, plug and play, getting other teams' cast-offs and being able to recognize talent from that standpoint, kind of like what Seattle's done in bringing guys in, seeing whom they could work with and who would fit into a system.
Right, and that's the thing about it is if you can have a system that runs efficiently, then you can develop talent on the move. And that's the thing about it. When you have Brady there week in and week out and you're hearing the same terminology from the same guy and and it's so repetitive that he has a chance to take a running back and plug him in the Super Bowl and get the profit out of him that you have. You know, you have a Gronkowski get hurt and you plug in Martellus Bennett and, you know, you don't lose anything really from the tight end position. You have the receivers that they're if you line up the receivers for the New England Patriots, they're not going to be picked first in a game of Red Rover.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some other the bigger bodies, the guys that have some size and a physical presence to them. But again, you have that consistency of the quarterback position, and that's what I talked about with the Bears is having that position, and then, you know, I just think the biggest need for help is out of the defense. But, you know, you talk about the amount of plays that New England was able to run against the Atlanta
47
defense.
47 more plays.
Right, and how fatigued they look at the end. But you go back to the national championship game when Clemson ran 99 offensive plays, and now all these five-star athletes you talk about at Alabama, they were exposed because they were fatigued. And that's, you know, whether you're in a major college football national championship game or you're in the Super Bowl, both games at the highest level at the ends of each of the season, you look at the team offensively that was able to run the most plays, they made the defenses of their opponent look bad, tired, and fatigued.
And Atlanta seemed to be playing at defensively seemed to be playing at a completely different speed in the first half. But then as the game wore on, all of a sudden Brady's getting better protection. You know, and they're out there reaching for the oxygen mask.
You know, when Quinn got hired by Atlanta, the first thing he told the general manager is, I want speed on defense. I want these guys to be fast. Fast is good when you're not out there for 90 plays. Because once you're fatigued and you're a smaller defensive player, then that's when you start getting rolled up. That's what we always felt as an offense back when we were there, and we controlled the time of possession. As soon as we got the defense we were playing against tired, game over.
Yeah.
And there was no more to it.
We are now post-Super Bowl entering kind of a lull in the NFL schedule. We're not going to see or hear from the Bears after the Senior Bowl and now after this past weekend and any NFL team for a course of about 3 weeks until they all go down to Indianapolis for the scouting combine. What's going on at Halas Hall right now? And even though they're out of the spotlight and we're not going to hear from them at least for 3 weeks or so, is this almost the most important time of year where they get their heads together, do some scouting, start looking at free agency after this three-week stretch, then they'll dive into the combine and the draft?
Yeah, you know, the pro personnel department, they'll investigate the free agents. The college scouts will go out there and do their due diligence with the draft-eligible players who have the opportunity to come out. But the position coaches, this is the first time that they can actually take the game film, slow it down, and watch him with a real critical pen. Because, you know, when you're going through game 1 to 2 to 3, you know, 16 games, you don't really have a long time to dwell on the past game tape because you're already trying to fast forward to get ready for the game plan of what your next opponent is offering you defensively. What is the new scheme going to be? What are the changes that are going to be made from week 1 to week 2? But now you're Chris Bowden, you're the offensive line coach of the team that you coach. Now you're watching every single play 6, 8, 10 times per play to get a real critical evaluation of the positives and negatives of each player that you need to come out here and compete for a job next year. So I think this is when the coaches, they earn their money, because you finally have the luxury of sitting in that room and watching tape slowly. And when you talk about a new offensive line coach like Washburn, he's got to come and he's got to learn about each one of his players.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to do a strict evaluation of their performances. But you also get to know a little bit something about each one of these guys. What are they like in the first quarter? What are they like in the fourth quarter? What are they like in Tampa Bay in hot weather? What are they like in cold weather? So all those things, you have to start learning about your talent.
All right, we're going to take our final break here. I want to continue one more piece of Bears conversation before we wrap things up. I want to ask Tom about the changes in the coaching staff so far and how it affects some of the young players moving forward, who had pretty good rookie seasons. I know you touched on that a little bit last week. Want to do that a little bit more and let that breathe a bit. When Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, continues on 670 The Score. Heading down the home stretch here, Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Tom Thayer and Chris Bowden here from the 670 The Score studios. Want to touch a little bit more about the Bears, but Tina and Lyle's been hanging patiently to get in on the conversation on whether Bill Belichick or Tom Brady's more important to the Patriots' success. Hey, Tina, thanks for hanging on. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
What do you think?
I say Belichick, because I don't think Tom Brady's Tom Brady without him.
Yeah. So I think of the callers we've had, it's 3-1 in favor of Tom's choice, too.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's an interesting observation by Tina, because it seems like everybody feels like it's the influence of the head coach. And ultimately, he is the top on down, and the trickle, and then probably second in line is, you know, the coordinators, and then Brady's right there. But it really is the message that Bill Belichick delivers first to make sure that Tom Brady's in his place. And even when Brady says, "Look, I don't want to, I'm not late for meetings, and I don't want to feel the wrath of Bill because of what the commitment he puts on you and what he requires out of you to be a teammate."
We talked a little bit before the break about the changes in coaching staff, or touched on it. And again, I know you guys did right before the end of the show last week, but when you look at some of the departures on the Bears' assistant coaching staff, it directly affects the rookies who were most successful this past season. And Leonard Floyd, now that Clint Hurt is no longer there, Vic Fangio is going to take apparently a greater role in coaching up the outside linebackers. They haven't filled his role per se. Also, Dave Magazoo, the offensive line coach. We all know what Cody Whitehair did. And Stan Drayton with the running backs when Jordan Howard. All three of those guys, all rookie performers. And what's going to have to be their adjustment? How much do you think it will affect them moving forward into their second years?
I don't think it'll affect them, because the key is Vic Fangio still here and Dal Loggins is still here. And those guys, they deliver the coordinator's message of the offense and the defense. And so the terminology is still going to be consistent. The scheme is going to be the same. And it's going to be about Vic Fangio teaching the new position coaches the defense and the way that he wants it coached. And then Dal Loggins is going to have to take the new coaches on the offensive side of the ball, teach them the terminology, teach them the techniques that he wants to be taught, and get them updated in terms of what the idea of the scheme is. And so I don't think it's gonna be quite a hurdle to get over for the Bears players, because and we're not changing. It's not Adam Gase to Dal Loggins.
Mm-hmm.
And whether, you know, the offense changed a lot from Adam to Dal Loggins. The terminology changed between the two of them. And so I think the key element here is the consistency in the language, because of any player, that's the most difficult thing to learn. And it'd be the same thing as to asking you, I need you to learn French, and then in 3 months speak it fluently and go to France and be able to communicate. It's no chance. Right, it's tough. And that's the same thing with the terminology change in offensive football, because the length of a play call is so difficult nowadays that if you don't understand every aspect and how it pertains to you, and then you got to check at the end of that, if they're not in the defense we want, this is what we're going to go to. Make sure that you understand that. You may have a half a second of notification before you got to know that thinking process also.
And I didn't even bring up the most recent departure was Curtis Johnson, the wide receivers coach. So this is going to be three different wide receiver coaches in 3 years for the Bears, no matter who they hire. How does that affect a Kevin White or an Alshon Jeffrey or a Cameron Meredith, too?
It will affect him because all coaches are different. Mike Grohl is different from Curtis Johnson. Curtis Johnson will be different from the next coach they hire. Again, the good thing is the consistency in the terminology, but now the requirements of the players. You know, Mike Grohl was a very strict coach that, you know, he constantly had these guys doing little technical things on the sideline. Curtis Johnson, he's a gruff coach,
in
man. He was really serious, and he had these guys carrying footballs when they're on the sidelines, even though they weren't in the game, just to get used to doing that. So now what will the little habits of the next receivers coach going to be? But I think every one of these coaches that are hired, God, it's got to be so exciting for them to have the opportunity, because now they're going to be in charge of their position, and it's a big requirement they have in order to develop each one of these guys, because every guy is unique to the way they play. Cam Meredith is different than Josh Bellamy, and Josh Bellamy is different than Alshon Jeffrey, and so on and so forth. And then you got to develop a first-rounder like Kevin White, just like Washburn working with the offensive linemen. Every single one of those guys, there's something different about them. Ted Larson doesn't get in the stance the same way that Kyle Long does. Bobby Massey gets in his stance differently than Charles Leno Jr. Josh Sitton has a lot of experience that, you know, you have to take his experiences and continue to refine his experiences throughout his career in the NFL.
All right, we got about a minute left. I was going to toss this question out to our listeners, but I kind of think I know what the answers would have been with all our Kool-Aid drinkers out there. But if these Patriots were the Patriots that the 1985 Bears faced, how do you think they would have fared against them? And how do you think you'd have gone about beating them? And it's probably more a question for someone on the defensive side of the ball, maybe than offense. I don't know. But how do you think that would have gone, Tommy?
You know, I still think we would have beat them. I think Walter Payton would have been able to run the ball successfully, and that's what we always did going into the game. But I think the key is it's so hard to block our defense. There, you can't block Richard Hampton, McMichael, Fridge, Mikey Hartenstein, and then Otis Wilson and Wilbur Marshall on the outside. I don't think Martellus Bennett could have blocked Otis Wilson or Wilbur Marshall or Richard or Hamp or who was ever playing defensive end. So I still think, I'm a homer. I'm a Bears fan. But I do think, you know, it would have been really competitive going against Tom Brady.
Sorry, Belichick. Sorry, Brady. It would have been
Bears
all the way. We thank all of you for listening, all of you who called in and joined us. We also thank our producer, Tony Gill. On behalf of Zach Zaidman, who's off in college basketball land somewhere, I'm Chris Bowden filling in. Thanks to Tom Thayer as well. It was a great Super Bowl. I don't know if there was one better than that. Hard to top that, but we've had some entertaining championships.
January 26, 1986,
my friend,
was the best.
Lawrence Holmes coming up next on 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.